ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter number 25 and Text number 34, The Glories of Devotional Service, as explained by Kapil Dev. Na ek atmanam atmatam me sprahayanti केचित् मत पाद सेवा अभिरताः मत इह ये अन्योन्यः अन्योन्यतः भागवताः प्रसज्य सभाजयन्ते मम पौरुषाणि नैकात्मतां मे स्पृहयन्ति केचिन् मदपादसेवा विरता मदीहा ये अन्योन्यतो भागवतः प्रसज्य सभाजयन्ते मम पौरुषाणि नैकात्मतां मे स्पृहयन्ति केचिन् मदपादसेवा विरता मदीहा ये अन्योन्यतो भागवतः प्रसज्य सभाजयन्ते मम पौरुषाणि नैकात्मतां मे स्पृहयन्ति केचिन् मदपादसेवा विरता मदीहा ये अन्योन्यतो भागवता प्रसज्य सभाजयन्ते मम पौरुषाणि न नेवर एक आत्मतां मर्जिंग इनटू वननेस मे माय स्पृहयन्ति दे डिजायर केचित् एनी मत पाद सेवा द सर्विस ऑफ माय लोटस फीट अभिरताः एंगेज्ड इन मत इहाः एंडेवरिंग टू अटेन मी ये दोज हु अन्योन्यतः म्यूचुअली भागवताः pure devotees, prasajya, assembling, sabhajayante, glorify, mama, my, paurushani, glorious activities. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. A pure devotee who is attached to the activities of devotional service and who always engages in the service of my lotus feet, never desires to become one with me. Such a devotee who is unflinchingly engaged always glorifies my pastimes and activities. There are five kinds of liberation stated in the scriptures. One is to become one with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or to forsake one's individuality and merge into the Supreme Spirit. This is called ekatmatam. A devotee never accepts this kind of liberation. The other four liberations are to be promoted to the same planet of God, that is Vaikuntha, to associate personally with the Supreme Lord, to achieve the same opulence of the Lord, and to attain the same bodily features at the Supreme Lord. A pure devotee, as will be explained by Kapila Muni, does not aspire for any kinds of five liberations. He especially despises as hellish the idea of becoming one with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Prabodhananda Saraswati, a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, said, Kaivalyayam narakayate. The happiness of becoming one with the Supreme Lord, which is aspired by the Mayavadis, is considered to be hellish. That oneness is not for pure devotees. There are many so-called devotees who think that the conditioned state, in the conditioned state, we may worship the personality of Godhead, but that ultimately there is no personality. They say that since the absolute truth is impersonal, one can imagine a personal form of impersonal absolute truth for the time being. But as soon as one becomes liberated, the worship stops. That is the theory put forward by the Mayavadi philosophy. Actually, the impersonalists do not merge into the existence of the Supreme Person, but into his personal bodily luster, which is called the Brahma Jyoti. Although that Brahma Jyoti is non-different from his personal body, that sort of oneness merging into the bodily luster of the Personality of Godhead is not accepted by pure devotee, because the devotee engaged in greater pleasure than the so-called pleasure of merging into the existence. The greatest pleasure is to serve the Lord. Devotees are always thinking about how to serve Him. They are always designing ways and means to serve the Supreme Lord, even in the midst of the greatest obstacles of the material existence. The Mayavadis accept the description of the pastimes of the Lord as stories, but actually they are not stories. They are historical facts. Pure devotees accept the narration of the pastimes of the Lord not as stories, but as absolute truth. The words mama paurushani are significant. Devotees are very much attached to glorify the activities of the Lord, where the Mayavadis cannot even think of these activities. According to them, the absolute truth is impersonal. Without personal existence, how can there be any activity? The impersonalists take the activities mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and other Vedic literatures as fictitious stories. And therefore, they interpret them most mischievously. They have no idea of the personality of Godhead. They unnecessarily poke their nose into the scripture and interpret in a deceptive way in order to mislead the innocent public. The activities of Mayavadi philosophy are very dangerous to the public, and therefore Lord Chaitanya warned us never to hear from any Mayavadi about any scriptures. They will spoil the entire process, and the person hearing them will never be able to come to the path of devotional service to attain the highest perfection, or will be able to do so only after a very long time. It is clearly stated by Kapila Muni that bhakti activities or activities in devotional service are transcendental to mukti. This is called Panchama Purushartha. Generally, people engage in the activities of religion, economic development, and sense gratification, and ultimately they work with an idea that they are going to become one with the Supreme Lord, Mukti. But bhakti is transcendental to all these activities. Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, begins by stating that all kinds of pretentious religiosity is completely eradicated from the Bhagavatam. Ritualistic activities for economic development and sense gratification, and then after frustration in sense gratification, the desire to become one with the Supreme Lord are all completely rejected in Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is especially meant for pure devotees who always engage in Krishna consciousness and in the activities of the Lord, and they always glorify the transcendental activities. Pure devotees worship the transcendental activities of the Lord in Vrindavan, Dwarka, Mathura, as they are narrated in Srimad Bhagavatam and other Puranas. The Mayavadi philosophers completely reject them as stories, but actually they are great and worshipable subject matters and thus are relishable only for the devotees. That is the difference between Mayavadi and a pure devotee. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshul Militanjena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Shrimam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jutapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathan Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitanscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Sri Hari Priye Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah nama om vishnupadaya krishna prishthaya bhutale srimate bhakti vedanta swaminiti namine namaste saraswati deve gauravani pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Naikatmatam is prahyanti kechin, madapada seva birata madiha. Yanyonyato bhagavata prasajya sabhajayante mama paurushan. Yesterday we saw Kapil Dev is extolling the activities of devotional service to be on the highest platform than anything else, and here he is reiterating the same truth but in quite details. The word mama paurushani is very significant. Srila Prabhupada says that Mama Paurushani and Mama Virya Sambhita is identical. Satam Prasangam Mama Virya Sambhita Bhavanti Radkarna Rasayana Katha तज्जोषणावम अपवर्ग वर्तमनी श्रद्धा रति भक्ति अनुक्रमश्यति. The in the association of the devotees, when we hear and chant the glories of the Lord, Mama Virya Sambhita, the transcendental prowess of the Lord is being exchanged from the ear to the heart. Bhavanti radhakarana rasayanam katha. Then immediately tadjoshanava apavarga vartamani. Apavarga and pavarga have been explained. Pavarga constitutes in the Sanskrit alphabet as pa, pa, ba, ba, ma. Pa means parishram, hard labor. Pa means the fruit, means the karma phal. As soon as we grab the karma phal, we are under the bondage. It's a bandhan. And then anybody who is bound up must be fearful. There is no exception. Only madman thinks that he is not fearful. Rather, he wants to become fear personified. But in front of Krishna, fear personified, fear him. So how is it that fear will not lead you to death? Ultimate death is the most fearful thing. So this path is going to hell is called pavarga. But apavarga vartamani means completely reverse. It is the path of liberation. Path of liberation is that easy for those who are devotees, but they don't stop at the point of liberation. Naikatmana bhava. Naikatmana bhava means never think that you are one with the Lord or you have merged into the Lord. This is the subject matter of impersonalist and Mayavadis. Generally, impersonalist means Lord Krishna does not have form and no qualities. Actually, qualities are there and the form is also there. Without qualities, there is existence of form is not there. Guna Roop, but the form is there. But in spiritual understanding, spiritual potency, when it is applied as a service to the Supreme, who is all-potent, then there is a congenial situation arises. It becomes meaningful, and that can be experienced. Just like Nama Rupa Guna Leela is always the sequence for manifestation of the form. Manifestation of the quality prior to that. And prior to that is the form of the Lord is understood. But prior to that, the most basic requirement is to know the transcendental nature that formulas. So it is embedded in the holy name. All the potencies are invested in the holy name alone. Nama namakari bahudha nija sarva shaktis tatrarvidam niyamita smaranena kala. This is a direct blow to the impersonalist. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put that so much potency in the holy name. Nija sarva shaktis means the potencies are there. A potency has quality. We may not know the potent, but according to Haridas Thakur, unless and until the potency manifests, potent is known, not known. Potent can be only known when the potencies are manifested. Forget the potent, whether it's present or not. But potencies are there. Then whose? It's not your father's potency. Come on, Krishna. The Supreme Father's potency. So he describes that there are three kinds of potencies. So much an illiterate person will tell you the truth and you call it stories. So you can see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put the scenario for a common man to put these words in the mouth of Haridas Thakur, who was a Muslim as well as illiterate. And he tells the existence or the proof of God is that because the potencies of the Lord are present, they are manifested, and we can encounter. And for that, before Arjun could see even the Virata Swarupa, potencies have to be described. He asked for, "My dear Lord Krishna, how do I recognize you? You said you are everything, and everything is manifested. So how do I recognize you? Kechid kechid bhaveshu. How different ways I can understand." So Krishna says, "Well, my potencies are innumerable. I will tell you only a few. So you will recognize it. Only few and measure of it." And he describes. He tried to describe such potencies also in 7th chapter, prior to that, just to incite him that I am this and I am that. Until and unless he accepted by reasoning that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but it's only theoretically acceptance is there. And he knew the methodology for even theoretically accepting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because others say, and you also say the same thing. And there is no contradiction. So therefore I accept you. Asito devalo vyaso swayam chaiva bravishime parabrahma parabdhamam paramam pavitram paramam bhavan purusham shashvatam divyam adidevam ajam vibhum ahustvam sarvarushi devarshi narada satha asito devalo vyaso swayam chaiva bravishime. So when one argues equivocally, then we are cornered, isn't it? We don't have any. So, Srila Prabhupada and Ramanujacharya means ISKCON or Gaudiya Math in that sense, and Ramanujacharya. They were the two stalwarts to chew the tail of Mayavadis. Therefore, we are good friends. We won't spare the Mayavadis. And Prabhupada puts so much understanding how to defeat Mayavadi. First, we should be convinced. We can convince through theoretical aspect that these are not stories, because these are histories. They have been recorded. Fictitious stories like Shakespeare's novel or any, if they are preserved, why not the histories? Even if you start with a fictitious stories, but then how do you get appeal? Machitta madgata prana bodhayantascha parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. This is the business of devotees who are always engaged in devotional service. Devotional service means glorification of the Supreme Personality of God. You can't read Shakespeare's novel or anybody's, just like Srimad Bhagavatam. You can't read. Challenge. Nityam Bhagavata Seva, not Nityam Odyssey or any Romeo and Juliet Seva. You get tired of it. If they are fictitious stories, why a common man, and that too in multitude of 1.2 billion people on the globe of earth, are they blind? The Britishers thought that they are blind. And then they want to denigrate them. But they could not budge. They may have destroyed, but they failed actual uprooting the religion from the face of the globe. At least Vedic religion. Otherwise they were very envious of it. It is the real asset that Prabhupada is fostering us by intellectual deliberation. That's why he is giving a good comparative understanding for those multitude of Mayavadis and impersonalists. Generally people ask, what is the difference between Mayavadi and impersonalist? Both are impersonalist. Means they don't have faith. They want to merge their existence because they are frustrated. They don't tell. But they are frustrated. That's why they want to commit suicide into impersonal aspect. That is their goal. Destroy. This is as good as a fanatic who wants to destroy everything because he can't get his hands into. These are two extremes. One is allowing you to commit suicide, not by carrying a human bomb, They have virtually no sense. They must be actually believing in zero, not Allah even. Complete negation. One wants to annihilate himself by destroying others also along with it. They think it is victory. For what? Do you think with such a great pain in 1 second that is not observable will be pleasing to Allah? No. They are fanatics. So are impersonalists who want to merge into Brahman. Ishopanishad does not even give such credit to impersonal. How come the whole world is after impersonalism? It is so pervaded throughout the world. Impersonalism. Avyakta. You are manifested. And how come for a manifested person to contemplate on unmanifested? He doesn't know the manifestation is only physical. Or there is nothing beyond it. Because he can't understand, he can't realize. So therefore, they play around with Brahmajyoti. And Bhagavatam tells us the dirty intelligence. Avishuddha buddhaya. And they are they definitely fall down. Even though reaching to the highest stage, they think, but it is not highest stage. Brahma Jyoti is transcendental stage, but to merge one's individuality means to commit suicide. So what is the difference between an impersonalist who want to commit suicide after a long contemplation and a jihadi? Who is going to commit suicide by becoming a human bomb? What is the difference? Both are fanatics. avishuddha buddhaya. This is the foundation of their thinking. But Mayavadis are a step ahead. Why? He is afraid of death. He doesn't want to commit spiritual suicide. But he thinks, this is the story, and Krishna is this mastermind behind him, right? All these things. So why don't I become Krishna? Killing Krishna. Impersonalists simply kill their personality. But Mayavadi wants to kill his personality along with Krishna's personality by thinking that he will become Krishna. They want to replace Krishna. So, this is the basic difference between impersonalists and Mayavadis. Mayavadis are a step ahead. They want to kill the personality of Krishna. They want to become Krishna. Otherwise, you won't find much difference. And it is said, Mayavadir bhashya sunira hoir sarvanash. As soon as a Mayavadi opens his mouth, you should be aware, what does he speak? Just leave him and run away from him. It's not that you are afraid physically, but you will be afraid of losing your spirituality. That's why you are running away. It's not cowardice, but it is victory. It's like ranchod. Get away from him. Because we have a higher purpose to achieve. So, pure devotees are always abiding in Krishna's words, how it is making him realize to the point of that he sees himself being transformed. If we abide ourselves in thinking of Krishna, manmanabhava, machitta madgata prana, our thinking pattern has to be aligned with the madgata prana, that his life is totally dedicated to him. So we can always think of him. Bodhayantascha prasparam. We enliven each other. We enliven each other as devotees. That is our business. Kathayantascha mam nityam. Always singing my glories. That is our satisfaction. Tushyanti cha ramanti cha. We become satisfied as well as we derive the eternal joy, the bliss. So our existence is in the realm of the three quality Satchitananda existence. As far as the body and bodily configuration is concerned, three qualities and three energies, either in material world or spiritual world, they are the prime cause of creation. Three qualities and three energies. Spiritually is the same manifestation, but spiritual. But materially it will be material manifestation. That's how Haridas is explaining. Because the achit potencies are manifested and we can see, we can perceive. Because we also acquired the achit potency, but we are supposed to be spiritual part and parcel. That there is, where is the manifestation of the spiritual potency? Krishna says, parastasmatu bhavanya vyakta vyakta sanatana. There is a different realm other than this material realm. That is spiritual and it is eternal. So do you think this is a story or it is a matter of perception? If you are not ready to perceive by experience, then you will have a tight knot in your heart never to get into that subject matter. This is how, because of the tight knot of ignorance is been in the heart of the living entities who tend to be impersonalist. The tight knot of ignorance is there. But the devotees, simply by performing any meritorious activity that supports Krishna consciousness, is immediately rewarded for an opportunity to perform further devotional service. Just like the holy name begets the holy name, devotional service begets devotional service. So more you do, more you are engaged. This is how we are told that living in this material life, our engagement is spiritual, then it overcomes the material existence. It means when we go into that spiritual nature, we are always engaged. We go with the job description because we acquired the job description here. It is to be continued there. That is Sanatana Bhava. While impersonalists fault, they have a shortfall. They don't have full job description because they never have experience of devotional job. Their application is rejected. Then they have to come again and try to fill out for lesser jobs. That is called philanthropy. Lesser job. Unless and until one knows how to perform devotional service, that qualification doesn't require degrees, doesn't require anything. But philanthropy is always on the material platform. Then it requires something to pay. Means use your hard-earned money to help others, but not to Krishna. So that is a lesser job description. And it's not that they are voluntarily doing it. They are forced to do it. Because they are obligated. A devotee is not obligated. They are free. So, yesterday we saw mukti. It is not that important. Bhakti. Savai punsam paro dharmo. Yator bhakti radokshaje. Ahaituki at pratihata yayatma su prasidati. This is the first and foremost bold statement. And punsam means for whole humanity. Savai punsam paro dharmo yato bhakti radokshaje. Because it gives direct perception. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the fifth purusharthas or a higher purpose. Only four purposes are there? No. Fifth purpose is prema pumartho mahan, panchama purushartha, is to attain the love of Godhead. Attain love of Godhead. Love of Godhead, who can think about love? One who is in relationship. Only they think. But can you imagine a person who is a loner? He doesn't have any idea of love. A person who is not in relationship does not have any idea of love. Impersonalists are loner. And a person who is a loner eventually turns into a mad person. Really, it is very difficult to live like a loner. Lone star. A cowboy is a lone star. Means he is all and soul, whatever he surveys. He is simply living between life and death. You know, that is his business. American cowboy is a lone star. Texas is a lone star state. The whole Texas is a lone star state. And a cowboy is the supreme idol. American Idol. Lone Star. And nobody else but him, and with a gun. You know, this is his existence. So, impersonalists are lone stars. They have nothing but word jugglery in their mouth because that is their gun. Shoot, shoot, shoot. And, you know, and they will speak on the things which are incomprehensible by the common people. So he thinks he is the Lord and Master. He will have two guns, right? That is American Idol. And the whole world is, you know, made after this. In the beginning we were watching this so-called cowboy movies. Lone Star is very famous word. Impersonalists, they use their word jugglery, the grammatical word jugglery of impersonal aspect, because they need to constantly struggle amongst the environment of personalism. Klesho adhikatarastesham avyaktasakta chetasam avyaktahi gatir dukkham dehavat birvapyate. Because he has acquired the body, he is a lone soldier there. And his entire atmosphere of thinking, feeling and willing on the impersonal aspect. A person who has manifested, how can he contemplate on the unmanifested? It is extreme struggle. Complete two opposite situation. So, Krishna says, the end game is nothing but trouble for him. He has to somehow or other, by hook or crook, push his idea against the personally manifested things. He's a loner. But he develops Udasinta. Udasinta means indifference. Because he's so much staunch in himself, very strong impersonalist in himself, that he rejects everything. He's a very strong person. He may develop indifference, but don't be mistaken. You know? Because he thinks he is the one who knows everything. Because everything is going to be destroyed, but I'm going to be there. But your body is going to be destroyed and you will be hanging in the air without any support. He thinks you don't need support. But if you don't need support, are you going to support everybody? Either way. If you are under support, or you are the support of everything. If you think you are the support of everybody, then your name will be Krishna. And if you don't, then you merge. A devotee cannot digest this kind of proposal. Why? Naikatmana. No ekatma bhava. He cannot digest this. Because the element of love is within in his heart. Right? Bliss potency is there. And bliss is only given by love. This guy is a loveless guy. He doesn't know the value of love. He doesn't have any experience. The gully of love is very narrow. Only two people will be required. And he doesn't go into. You and your Lord, you have a loving relationship. But how much a little spark who thinks he doesn't need love, whatever he has, a little, it's also dried off. So he can't. So can you exist within two, that you are eternal and fully knowledgeable? That's the only two aspects an impersonalist can have. Sat, Chit, Anand. Sat and Chit he might be able to develop, but no Anand. He requires another person, another living entity. So, if he denies the personality aspect of the Supreme Lord, then can anybody love himself? It's called Nijanand. Nijanand is a state that one who loves himself. And we call it mad, crazy. Can you love yourself? You can love your body. Because body is something different from you, therefore you can love your body. But that's also ignorance, isn't it? Vanity is going to fade away. Char din ki chandani phir andheri raat. When the full moon is there, you know, the moon is going to shine, but how long? For four more days, then again fading. It's going to be complete darkness. So, a self-love cannot be sustained. There is no sustainability. It needs supplication. The supply should be there. the reservoir. Mistakenly we think, oh, we will get love from our partner. Don't think. Better engage in loving devotional service to the third party called Krishna. It will solve all the problems. Don't expect that love. Expect duties, fine, from each other. But you can't immediately repose your attention and make the center of your life. Center should not be deviated, and that is Krishna. You cannot deviate yourself. You can't love your family. You can't love wife even that much, or children at that much, because this is all transitory. You can't hold them. But you can hold Krishna. Krishna is not transitory. But he will play games with you. That is a loving game. Alright? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed this game plan. Right? If we don't understand, then we may lose the game. Yugaitam nimishena chakshusha prarushaitam sunyaitam jagat sarvam govinda virhena me. The game starts when Krishna is hiding from you. But it is an expression of love. Unless and until we feel the pangs of separation, we will not understand the value of love. More we feel, more loving nature will be exposed. That is the true love. More pangs we feel, more loving nature will be exposed. But in material world, and that too in Kali Yuga, we have limitations. Because there will be contract marriages according to Bhagavatam. There will be contract marriages. So a real love will remain absent. Love is not the center focal point of our livelihood. But love reposed on somebody else other than Krishna is also going to be failed. So this is the Pancham Purushartha. Only devotee can perceive, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, when we keep Krishna in center of our life. And because Krishna has individual relationship with all his part and parcels, we cannot take the family to Krishna directly, but we engage them in Krishna's service so they build their individual relationships and loving relationships. And other cannot interfere in it. Once established, and Guru will also promote, but he will not interfere. Unless called for, when some disaster is going to happen. So the idea, this Pancham Purusharth is available to devotees only, not to the impersonalists. So they are dry, loveless people. One shouldn't marry an impersonalist. So therefore, always look for devotee, and the devotee who is a progressive devotee, we can repose. And the ladies have to make them their guru, if they are progressive. So, how could this be a fictitious story? This is, our life should not be like a novel, but reality. Because we are real people, but impersonalists are not real people. Mayavadis are worst unreal people, and the rest of the world is following them under the devotees. They can prove by personal experience that by cultivating this Pancham Purushartha, Prema Pumartha Mahan, love of Godhead, through pure devotional service, nothing is fictitious. When it comes to love, love is real. How come an impersonalist will be superior, or they may destroy our devotional service. They may do disservice to the people. They are not beneficial to anybody. But people do not know because they have forgotten their eternal relationship with Krishna. So it is our business in ISKCON to re-educate them about and regain that relationship simply by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Srila Prabhupada's purport are so distinctly clear, making everything so much clear. If it is fictitious, will it be clear, or it will be secret, still hidden, and only the author knows? Very clear. Why Prabhupada put Bhagavad Gita as it is? Because he has a clear mandate to put Krishna's teaching and his desire. Who said Krishna did not express his desire? The violators always claim, oh, there are Krishna doesn't need anything, so where is the question of his desire? What do you mean by he doesn't need anything? We are thieves, right? We have stolen. And we think, because he did not need, that's why I stole. But one who has lost, he will be always after. And Krishna is so strong that he can be after anybody and to get his things back. He never failed. Mrityu sarva harascham. When the name Hari is concerned, when they say Hari, oh my God, be aware of Hari. He is going to take my things away. A har is better. Har har Mahadev. He gives and he takes away. Why should I go to him? People misinterpret it, you know, even Lord Shiva. Look at that. He is so powerful. He has nothing himself, but he gives us everything. The Mayavadi says, I didn't want to give up, but anyway, you are going to take away. So, tera tujhko vapas kya lage mera? It is this kind of, sentences, remind us that he did not want to give in first place. Now, by force, it will be taken away. So why not say, oh, it was yours and you are taking, oh, what is mine? But he is still hanging to his mind separately. Even though person is bereft of every opulence, what is mine? Mine means mamata. Empty mamata will be there. Or attachments, the sense of attachment will still remain if you are emptied out all your attachment. Oh, I have no attachment means you have attachment empty. But we are told, don't keep vacancy. You should be attached more to Krishna. Isn't it? By giving up material attachment, we do not negate the positive attachment to Krishna. So Mayavadis are going to tell us completely different stories. You know, actually they are talking stories. Fictitious stories. Impersonalists. But as we said yesterday, that because it is practically perceivable, that is more logical to understand. If it's perceptible, then pratyaksha avagamam dharmyam susukham kartum avyayam. That cannot be fictitious story. It's not mythology. When you can have direct perception, you do not require the attitude of impersonalists to perceive. They have dried off, you know, their loving aspect. So they don't have any desire but to live like a statue themselves. They are dead statues. They don't have loving. They don't love the humanity even. So never trust them. Mayavadi Rebhashya Sunele Hoyer Sarvanash. Simply hearing such thing, and if you want to get attracted to them, forget it, you are going to be lost forever. Sarvanash. So, Prabhupada said, generally, people engage in activities of religion, economic development, and sense gratification. And ultimately, they work with an idea that they are going to become one with the Supreme Lord, Mukti. But bhakti is transcendental to all these activities. Bhakti can be employed in religion, that is the first aspect. Economic development, bhakti can be utilized. Sense gratification, bhakti can be utilized. How? Yam krodha kama pranaya sahajadi bhiti vasalya moha guru gaura sevya bhavai. Sanchintyam tadrishim tanu mapurete govinda madhi purusham tamam bhajan. Nothing is spared. All these different bhavas which are coming from Rajoguna and Tamoguna, but if they are properly employed in the service of Krishna, Brahma says it is bhakti. So, mukti, he doesn't care. It will come on its own accord. Right? So we go on the verdict of followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who were imbued in love of Godhead. They say, Mukti kevalya mukti narakayate. Prabodhananda Saraswati. It is hellish idea. In hell there is no happiness, right? But people think if you get wine there, it will be happy. Their idea of happiness, everybody conceived. Have you seen the advertisement of happiness is Coca-Cola? No? It's all hallucination. So the Pancham Purusharth is the target of the devotees. That is the fifth obligatory aspect of a devotee. If only obligation is there to develop love of Godhead. We don't have other obligations. So, all the processes, nine processes of devotional service, they are capable in themselves to lead to the love of Godhead. Everyone is targeting to love of Godhead. That's the common denominator. Now choose one or all. We start by chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And end with it. Again, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So thank you very much. Anybody has any question? Yes, Prabhuji. In early days, Srila Prabhupada was invited by all these different groups in multiple, even prior to Prabhupada arrived in USA, there were groups of Harbhajan, Yogi Harbhajan, then Muktanandas and others, they were there. And when they heard popularity of Hare Krishna, they also started inviting Prabhupada. Prabhupada would welcome and greet them, but would not go into intimacy. Prabhupada would say, it's a waste of time. But in a what we call corporate world, we are even the competitors, we see something, but coexistence is required. So at that much level, we are told to become social and political for coexistence. Only up to that level. But we can't develop intimacy with them. Intimacy should be only with Krishna. We cannot impose them. anything of our ideology. Because Krishna is self-sufficient, and by our behavior and dedication to Krishna, they will see. The only difference between them and us is only one. We are soul surrendered to Krishna, and they are not. They have access to develop all 26 qualities, which are marginal characters. So that is possible with them. So a devotee is also depending only the external quality without surrender to Krishna. That means he is not a devotee. Our process is we are dedicated and soul surrendered to Krishna, and other marginal qualities and manifestations are there. They are tatastha lakshan. Right? That makes the distinction by itself, and we don't have to propagate that. They are also showing some nature, but they are not soul surrendered to Krishna. Yes.
90%
yes. Well, Prabhupada never showed much interest in them. But at the same time, he was very cordial in communicating with them. And that communication is essential as far as coexistence as institution is concerned. But we can't dilute our process. You know, generally when we are coming in contact with that and becoming intimate, we take something from them. We introduce sub-religious principles in main aspect. Prabhupada's preaching method is pretty simple, direct and perceptible. But many of our devotees who are acquainted with other things, they also say during Kirtananda time, they adopted methodology diluting Srila Prabhupada as if in the interfaith system, which also boomeranged and gave a very hard lesson. You follow my point? Yeah, but the thing is, it was meant as an influence. And influence corrupts the consciousness. Now, we are representing Srila Prabhupada and his purity. We are not representing our individual thinking. We are slaves of Srila Prabhupada and that thinking, feeling and willing method. We can't use our individuality at the expense of Prabhupada's process of, and dilute it. No. We can't. But such influences are there, so one must be extremely careful of this influence. In the beginning, Prabhupada told them not to indulge with anybody, because the tendency, the association creates an effect. Sangha, you know, it's the association that is influencing. Some people glorify, Mayavadis glorified Srila Prabhupada in order to gain from us. You know, gain from us. We remain cordial, but at the same time, their intention is to take disadvantage of us. Many people shift, you know. I know some devotees even join Kripalu. You know. That's the point. But yes, we must be imbued with the love of Godhead first. Then we can distribute. Simply borrowing from there and distributing, that is not distribution. It should come to us. We should be benefited ourselves. Because love is overflowing. We are only able to distribute when we are filled in. So what it means is the maturity of the devotional behavior that will be ultimate count. You know? Prabhupada sees everything all surrounding. He was not oblivious. But devotees who are not on that maturity can create a different result. Many times certain situation has been taken care, but could not progress further. Some of our God brothers have gone into interfaith and could not progress, not only in New Vrindavan, but elsewhere also. And it is done as far as some theological aspects is concerned. You know, we also got quite prestigious chair in Cambridge and University of California also, Berkeley's chair is there. That is given to such mature devotees, you know. And they are at least preserving the legacy by writing and putting this into a presentable format. Even Prabhupada tried to attend that cultural aspect of Krishna consciousness. He was invited to go to Japan, remember, but he did not go. But the light of Bhagavatam was being coming out from that, you know. So the presentation on a common bond is also there, but we can't dilute our process, and that is the point. It requires a mature handling, you know. That's all there. I mean, we can make milestones if we win and retain our individuality. Any other question? Yes.
So who can do more? So he has to be a person.
Thank you. Yes. Right. That is the conviction of a devotee because he is the supreme and nobody can defeat him. So why should I be afraid? Prabhupada said, it's like a small child who is holding the hand of his father and some friend come in and disturb him and scare him. He said, no, my father is there to protect me. Why should I get scared? That was his reaction. So, because the supreme means everything. A devotee who is under protection of the supreme, the fear is gone. Protection and fear, these are two opposites. When you are protected, then where is the question of fear to exist in front of you? So, when that conviction is there, then you go anywhere, whether go to hell or heaven. Narad Muni goes to every place. Right? Because he has so much confirmation. Na kutaschana bibhyati. He was so bold to tell Kamsa, kill everybody who has just born in 10 days. I mean, a devotee telling Kamsa to create most heinous crimes, to kill all children. And Narad Muni is telling, oh. But this is where intelligence is winning over sentiments. Spiritual sentiments and material sentiments, they are opposing each other. We should be afraid of material sentiments. They interfere in devotional service. If we have to fear. But generally we do not think, oh, I am Krishna conscious, so let my mind run loose with so many sentiments. No. Prabhupada already gave the definition. Religion without philosophy is nothing but sentimental movement. We are not sentimental movement. And at the same time, philosophy without religion, it's a dry mental speculation. So we have to keep both in mind. We should never fear any material obstacle. We will overcome because Krishna is there. We will overcome. And sannyasis are supposed to develop that. Otherwise they should not become sannyasi. That's what we saw yesterday, right? Anu kulyena Krishna anu shilanam. So, we should be fearless. Cultivate fearless. Increase your fearlessness. If you do not become altogether fearless, we can cultivate gradually. And Prabhupada told in the preacher, don't go alone. Take somebody along with you. Together you preach. You know? Like that. Anything else? That's all? You want to know something specific? Yeah.
I was just trying to think how and it's true that when one is actually Krishna conscious, one transcends all material happinesses and distresses.
Mm.
But then
Yes. But hard to practice does not mean you have to become fearful. Fearlessness is free. Utilize everywhere. Never become despondent. Never allow some kind of unknown future to take over you and remain desperately suppressed. No. Chant Hare Krishna with all enthusiasm. And your fears will go. Utsahat, nischayat, dhairyat. Three elements are so vital in progressive devotional service. So thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.